Last weekend, ham radio operators took part in a national event called Field Days, which highlights the importance of amateur radio. In Rutland, the Green Mountain Wireless Society set up ham radio stations at the high school football stadium and broadcast for 24 hours, calling out to other stations all over the country. Tim Abraham, vice president of the society, was one of the participants.
I must have spoken with about 30 or 40 stations. I was in charge of a special station that was for non-licensed visitors. So I was helping visitors train on the radios, and the public had an opportunity to learn about amateur radio at Field Day.
You had the Boy Scouts come, didn't you?
We sure did.
What did they think of ham radio?
They thought it was pretty cool, and we had certificates for each of them as they contacted a station. If they contacted another station, we gave them a certificate, and so they were happy about the hobby.
You were making these calls all night long, all day and all night, 24 hours?
Yes, from 2 p.m. on Saturday until 2 p.m. on Sunday. We contact as many other amateur radio stations as we can. It's really an amazing event because we come together on the weekend in a public space where there's no communications equipment. And by the time Saturday rolls around, we've set up six operating positions and erected six antennas and four PCs and tested out our radios and gathered food and supplies and tested out our emergency power generator. And Field Day is also a contest. It's
right.
A contest to see how many points you can get based on the number of radio stations you have and based on the number of contacts that you made. So we total that up and send it in to the people who figure out who won the contest.
And do you know yet who won the contest?
No, we don't know yet. There are Field Day setups from all over the country, so it takes some time to gather all the data and come up with the winners.
When you talk about setting up this temporary equipment and you set up in the football field, you do this all in a couple of hours to get set up, you have supplies. Part of the reason for that is because this is a drill to make sure that amateur radio enthusiasts are really prepared to help out in an emergency. How would ham operators help in an emergency?
Well, in the case, for example, of Hurricane Irene, we have a emergency communications room at the Red Cross, and we were up and running very quickly into the hurricane. We're able to send and receive messages that are really clear and concise. For example, we would be in contact from the Red Cross Center to the Red Cross shelter over at Rutland School. And so that's one way that we communicate. We also communicate with the animal shelter for people who had stranded animals during Irene.
In the days of the internet, you know, leaving the emergency situation aside, where the internet probably doesn't work for many people, how do you get people still interested in ham radio when they've got all of these other devices at their fingertips? And if they want to chat with people around the world, you've got chat roulette, you've got other ways to get in touch with people. Why should anybody pick up a ham radio?
Probably the most valuable experience is the electronic skills that you learn as you take the exams to become an amateur radio operator. We have good communication skills and learn a lot about electronics, and we conduct a ham radio course every fall.
Tim Abraham is vice president of the Green Mountain Wireless Society. He participated in an international event called Field Days last weekend, which highlights the importance of amateur radio and emergency preparedness. Tim, thanks for talking to us, and will you let us know how your team did when the results are tabulated?
I sure will. Thank you very much for having me on.